Thank you, Chris, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Today's meeting represents the end of my first year as CEO of Computershare, and it's probably amongst the most daunting things I've had to do in that time, not because I'm uncomfortable addressing groups of people or not because there's anything that I'm concerned about in the story I have to tell. It's just that Chris has made this part of the AGM his own so much that I'm really not sure how I measure up to that. And then to have to follow after a video like that just makes it additionally daunting. I should say two things before I start. One is that to thank Chris for the way that he has enabled me to take on the role of CEO. I think moving into a role as Chief Executive where the founder of the company is going to continue in an executive capacity as Executive Chairman was something a lot of people said to me, how's that going to go? Chris has been absolutely fantastic in giving me space to deal with all sorts of things and in making sure that my responsibility and my authority was absolutely clear, and that's been a huge asset in enabling me to take on the challenges of being CEO this year. The second thing I'd like to do is add to Chris's thanks to Sandy, who during my time with the company, my 8-odd years, has been a source of great advice and friendship and a huge asset. So thank you, Sandy. I guess where I wanted to start was just by stepping right back and looking at what Computershare today is as a company. One of the key things about us is that we are globally diversified, both in where we earn revenue and in where we make profits. In our core businesses, which are employee share plan administration and especially shareholder record keeping, share registry, transfer agency, people call it different names in different places, we are dominant in virtually all the markets we operate in, which is really vital to us, and the ones that we're not dominant in, we're working very hard to get more dominant. And also, we're the only people who have that capacity in multiple jurisdictions, which is a really key asset, especially as global financial markets continue to erode their borders and transactions don't recognise national boundaries. Around those core record-keeping businesses, we have a range of niche, specialised, supporting businesses, whether they are proxy solicitation, whether they're targeted marketing and communications, especially that arises out of what we used to call our document services business, which we renamed in the last 12 months our communication services business, because the emphasis in communicating these days obviously moves, and we all see it, from bits of paper in envelopes with ink on them to dynamic messages presented on the internet and in emails and in SMSs. So that business we've invested very heavily in taking its capacities from being simply a print and mail house to being a provider of integrated communication services, and you will see them in the way that we communicate with your shareholders in Computershare, your shareholders in other companies, and the communication processes that sit around all of our businesses. We have found nice ways to lever our infrastructure in things like providing services to governments. We've talked in past years about things like our National Health Service meeting administration business in the UK, our Corby gas appliance registration business in the UK. In Australia, we administer the Victorian government's rental bonds record keeping. In the UK, we've just created a similar business doing the same thing for English tenants and looking after the bonds that tenants pay their landlords. All these businesses work off two things. One is they use our infrastructure, so things like the government outsourcing business relies very heavily on our data capture capacities, our data storage capacities, our call centre capacities, our payment capacities, or they work off our client base. And we have a range of businesses like proxy solicitation where we can take to the people that we already have relationships with new offerings which not only provide better services to our clients but also make us a much more important supplier to them. The fourth point I wanted to make is that in the last 2 or 3 years we have been very, very rigorous in making sure that all our businesses pay their way. We don't countenance passengers anymore. And if you look at the way our financial performance has changed, that, and Tom Honan will tell you this and does tell us this on a regular basis, it's as much the lack of weak links as the strength in any particular business that really has driven the excellent financial performance that Chris put up earlier. We have really good quality exposure to a number of the world's growth markets. In Russia, we have been continuing to buy slices in a range of different registry businesses, and that's now a very meaningful contributing market to us. In India, our joint venture with Kirby Consultants, and we're lucky to have Mr. Uganda from Kirby with us today, has again provided a terrific platform for growth. And China is exciting. China at the moment feeds our Hong Kong business because Hong Kong has still been a significant centre for capital formation in China, but we continue to work on ways to get more and more deeply involved in the PRC markets as well. The last point I wanted to make about the characteristics of Computershare as a whole is that the cross-border things I mentioned earlier are really delivering value for us these days. Our capacity to provide services to Rio Tinto in its bid for Alcan, where there were Canadian aspects, Belgian aspects, UK aspects, Australian aspects, US aspects. We are the only people in the world who can put the plumbing together to provide a complete solution to an issue like that. Chris mentioned the New York Stock Exchange Euronext merger, but the same issues arose. Royal Bank of Scotland's takeover of ABN as well is a good example. This is where Computershare really has something that no one else has, and it's our absolute sweet spot, and we see those transactions emerge and think, you beauty, that here's another chance to show off what we can do that no one else can. I did think it was worth recapping the numbers. It's a slightly different slice through them than Chris put up, and a lot of these are picked out from the management results presentation. I won't read them all out, although I do like seeing all those percentages up with, that begins with 50s and 60s and 80s. There is one line in this that I did want to talk about, though, which is the fourth line down, register maintenance revenues up 13% and constituting nearly half of the total revenue line. There are people, especially in the analyst community, who talk about shareholder numbers decaying, about the moves of shareholders into nominees, and if that's right, then our basic register maintenance revenue should be eroding. It's just not. Shareholder numbers are growing. Different market structures have that happening in different ways, but the proof's in the numbers. And if you look at that number, you can see how powerful our efforts to build value into the business as usual, shareholder record keeping part of our business, how much success we're having in that. As I say, I won't dwell on those numbers otherwise. I guess if you look back, and this is a little bit of a blend, it's partly about financial year 2007, but the last couple of points actually flow over as well. We did have strong performance in all regions and across all business lines. As I say, passengers are not something that we will deal with anymore. The standout businesses were, as we've told people before, Hong Kong, the UK, Canada, Australia, the US, all our major revenue markets have had in 2007 excellent financial performance. There was meaningful revenue growth, 17%, but we also took our margins to a much, much higher level, our operating margins, which is what really drove the profit. So cost growth, we managed to 7%, revenue growth was 17%, and that has to produce a significant growth in margins, which is really, really satisfying. People say Computershare is not acquisitive anymore. The truth is we bought seven companies in financial year 2007, spent $100 million. This year to date, we've made four more acquisitions and spent another $70 million. We've just had a board meeting for 2 days, and I can promise you that there's lots more thinking about other acquisitions. We have a fabulous cash generating business that we look to reinvest the cash we generate in things that will continue to generate the sort of returns that our investments have made in the past. We've also applied our cash resources to reducing the shareholder base and therefore concentrating earnings for the shareholders who don't take advantage of the buyback. We bought back 45 million shares in a structured buyback program that finished about a month ago. And it's also worth talking about a little bit. We rolled over some banking facilities. Normally you'd say ho-hum, but we actually achieved better interest rate margin, which is basically the pricing metric for those facilities, out of this process than we had had previously. This all happened in a post-subprime environment, so all the concerns about quality borrowers having to pay more for their funds really aren't borne out by our practical experience. We increased both the number of banks that are in the facilities there and the size of the facilities as well as part of that process. A different slice again through the story of Computershare. This diagram just shows how our revenues and our profits break down around the world. You'll see that the pie charts are broadly similar in shape, that North America continues to be the dominant contributor, but that we have very good contributions both from the Asia Pacific region and from the Europe, Middle East and Africa region. So I guess that was the reflective bit, looking backwards. Looking forward, what are we trying to do? And I think we've had a very clear message for the last year or so that there are three key strategic goals for us. One is to manage our costs, to continue to manage our costs well, to use benchmarking and technology to drive efficiency into our businesses. The second limb is just as important. We need one of the things that we've probably not been as good at historically is getting properly recognised financially for the services that we provide to people. And we've put a lot of investment and a lot of work into making sure that we do get better revenue outcomes for the services that we deliver, that both protects our margin and that drives our profitability. And lastly, as I said, we look for acquisitions, we look for ways to grow, and given our long-term growth aspirations of 20% a year, which, as Chris mentions, we've achieved very comfortably the last few years, if we're going to continue to be able to do that, we can't just rely on organic activity. We need to be looking for ways to acquire businesses, and we do. If you look at those three links and say how have we gone, clearly the margin expansion shows the benefit of both the revenue initiatives and the cost controls. The thing I wanted to mention here was that we had a very strenuous shared services benchmarking exercise. So regional finance departments, regional HR departments, regional marketing departments, we benchmark how much they cost proportionately in each place and targeted best of breed performance into other markets. And that generated of the order of $10 million to the EBITDA bottom line in the last 12 months. And as I mentioned, on the acquisition side, we have continued to be active. This work is never done. We continue to look to ways to build our margins. We continue to look to ways to grow. So that strategy is not something that has a shelf life and that's going to go away. That's what we're doing as a business. But I did want to talk just about one thing that we are looking to do in addition. Historically, and it's not just true of share registrars, it's true of a lot of businesses, there's a lot of lip service paid to quality, but really there's not big delivery on it, and often it's because in a lot of markets people won't reward you for quality. We believe at the moment, for a whole lot of reasons, that there is an opening for a really, really high quality shareholder record keeping offering in the world, and this is for me the key aspect for us to work on in the next 12 months. I've just recently returned from visiting our US, Canadian and UK businesses, and there are people rising up from within the organisation saying, if we can just take our quality up to the next level, if we can be clearly different from our competitors, then we believe people will really recognise that in the fees they pay us, and that's something we're really going to focus on over the next little while. There will continue to be clients who just want the cheap and cheerful service, so maybe we will need to differentiate our offerings and offer different offerings at different price points, but I do believe that there is a real opportunity to make a step difference in our financial performance from really getting serious about quality and delivering quality in a way that people can measure. Just running through the acquisitions that we've made since we last reported, we've announced all these so people have seen them. DataCare is a corporate governance software solutions business. It enables large companies to keep track of who their subsidiaries are, who the officers of those subsidiaries are, what the regulatory filings around them are. We already had a business in that space, so this is really a consolidation exercise. UMB is a Kansas City USTA business, which continues to add to our regional presence in that space and is really a nice bolt-on acquisition. RSS Restricted Stock Systems is really exciting. It's quite a small business. It's probably 50 people altogether. What it offers is US executives ways to set up structured programs so that they have self-executing instructions to sell stock, and so they don't get caught. And the SEC provides a safe harbour so that those systems enable you to have your shares traded while you're not making the decisions during periods you've got inside information. The US client interest in this is absolutely phenomenal, and this is an example of what I was talking about, where we have offerings that we can offer to our existing client base. There's also significant interest, international interest, because more and more executives find it very, very difficult to access the value in their executive shareholdings, because that for many of them there aren't many times when they don't have inside information. The last one I wanted to mention was Administar, which is a class action administration business and bankruptcy administration business. People say, why would you get into that? But the truth is it uses call centres, it uses fulfilment, it uses payment mechanisms, it uses lots and lots of the infrastructure that we have in large scale, and we can really make a difference to its cost base. There are also some synergies across the client base and the distribution arrangements. So, what does that mean for acquisitions going forward? We think that post-subprime, the competition from private equity is less strong. They can afford to pay less there, so that the competition for assets that are interesting to us, and we've looked at, especially over the last couple of years, lots of assets that we really like but that we just couldn't make financial sense of at the prices that people were asking. We see a return to more rational pricing for the assets that interest us, so we see more opportunities emerging to make acquisitions. And generally we do four different things, as I say. We bolt things on to our core business, like the UMB acquisition in the US. We lever our processing and fulfilment competencies, like Administar. We buy businesses where we can sell into our existing client base, like DataCare or RSS. And we will also continue to try and find ways to build our presence in markets where we don't have a fully representative presence. This slide was meant to be the fun one, but unfortunately our stock price took a little run last Friday and we got a price query from the exchange, and so we had to rather bring it forward and spoil the impact today. But we have had a very good first 4 months for the year. The board has sat down and looked at those 4 months and our forecast going forward, and now we expect as a company to achieve EPS growth in excess of 30% for the year 2008. That's up on the 15% guidance that we gave when we released our financial year 07 annual results. I'm sure you've all read in the paper the particular factors, or in the analyst research, the particular factors that we put it down to. But it's generally that the business is running very well. There are no big chunks that are one-offs. This is good, robust business performance, and we're looking forward to the rest of this financial year with significant confidence. So thank you all very much. I will hand back to Chris now. Thank you.
Thanks, Stuart. I'm sure that's far better than my first one. Very informative. It's interesting when Stuart thanked me, and we should thank him, because we do have an interesting relationship work-wise, because, as you know, I still run the EMEA section. So in that role, I actually report to Stuart, but in another role, he actually reports to me as chairman. We have one classic one, though, I think. We were trying to make some management changes in the UK, and Stuart said, no way, no. And I said, well, I'm pretty stern about this, Stuart. What are we going to do? You sack me, then I'll sack you. So, but it's really what I was saying before. It's really a healthy interaction of ideas. And I think we did, Stuart. No, I think it was... No, I compromised, so it was half and half. Now we're in a situation where we'll take some questions. We are, again, as you'll know, using this absolutely brilliant technology from a company called IML, which is a wholly owned subsidiary of Computershare, based in a place called Lippick in the UK. Just quickly, it has been a phenomenal success. This company is expanding. We're looking to expand it a lot more globally and actually taking over some of the agents we had before, because the group in IML really didn't have the infrastructure and didn't want to expand globally. So the technology is used extensively in the US and Australia and other places, but through agents. But now with Computershare's global breadth, we're doing that. So you've all got these. You've all popped your little thing in. Oh, Mum, Dad, you ain't got one. Well, probably a bit more, but you know, you'll vote yes for everything. Therefore, we've got that in there. Now, for the first thing to talk, they also have an inbuilt microphone. So the blue button, if you want to talk, you push that button, you'll then be put into a queue for your questions. I'll then come over here and read it, and if I don't like you, then I'll absolutely ignore it. No, and announce a name, and then the person, when your name is announced, hopefully the guys over here, Ollie and the crew there, will actually activate your little microphone and you can speak. When you ask questions, please stand up. Firstly, state your name, state whether you are a shareholder or a proxy holder, and speak clearly. We have some questions on the line. Ralph York first. Now, just one thing, just hold it like a mobile phone. Just like normally. Yeah, that's it. That's
like
the one.
That?
Yeah, like that, right up to you. Yep.
Yeah, right.
Beautiful.
Well, my name's Ralph York. I'm an ordinary shareholder out of Croydon, and I've come along to say one or two things.
Please.
Can I now sit down? Or?
No, you want to talk? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, please go for it. Yeah. No, stand up.
Stand up.
Yeah, oh, well, you can sit down and talk if you like. Yeah, that's all right. Feel more comfortable as long as you hold it up like that.
I think it's just show respect for age.
Yeah, okay, that's fair enough.
Mr. Chairman, first of all, I'd like to congratulate you and the board for such an excellent result for the past year.
Thank you.
And I was very interested, I'm sure everybody else was, looking at the charitable side of the company. Very few companies seem to involve themselves to the degree that Computershare has. And the Laos Fund Change of Life was particularly interesting. I did think I saw you there at one stage leading the pack.
Oh, no,
maybe,
I wasn't. No, I've got to do a bit more training for that.
Right. It's a terrific company to have shares in, and I've had shares for some years. There's always a but, isn't there? However, what I'm concerned about is the shares, not only the share price, which admittedly has come back from $11.65 to about $10, but that takeover rumour certainly was helpful. But I'd like to query the payout ratios, the amount of dividends we actually get. Most companies in the top 100 ASX pay out a dividend ratio of 60 to 80%. Computershare pay out 46%. And not only is that, it's less than 2%, but it's got zero franking. Our last franked dividend was August 2004, 100%, and then it dropped March 2005 to 10% franked, and now it's, as I say, it's zero franked. Well, we must be accumulating franking credits because we do pay our Australian tax. About a quarter of our earnings come from Australia. There must be accumulated franking credits. When can we expect franked dividends, and when can we expect an increase in dividend in comparison with the EPS growth that Computershare has achieved?
Thank you. Very good questions, and thanks for them. As far as the dividend payout, we have increased that dramatically. I think if you look at Computershare, it was a lot less than that before. One thing that we've always been very focused on Computershare is actually growing the company. So the last thing we'd want to be doing, I mean, if we can't invest your funds better than you could in the bank, then actually we should give it all back to you. But the reason the Computershare has gone from a $36 billion company to a $5.5 billion company is that we actually have retained most of our earnings, and I would say put it to very good use. And that's why, you know, the shares have gone from a relative when we floated of 11 cents a share to nearly $10, as you say, at the moment. So, you know, once, if we got to the stage, and Stuart, through his presentation, was trying to explain to people, because there is this perception that Computershare, there's no more registries around, so you can't do anything. If we ever got where he was explaining, there is a lot of things we can do. If we got to the stage where we couldn't do that, we're not about just putting money in the bank. That's not what Computershare is about. But if we got to the stage where we couldn't see any meaningful acquisitions to do, where we could use the money and, to our case, actually invest it better, I think you could, then we would actually increase the dividend payout. So we're reluctant to do that at the moment, but we have been, as you know, we have been increasing it gradually over the years, and a lot better than we were like 5 or 6 years ago. On the franking side, obviously we have very little control over that. Yes, we are accumulating some franking credits. We don't feel it's worth, sort of, as soon as we get 5% or 10% in franking credits doing that. It's something the board will continuously look at, and when there's enough money there, we'll pay it out. But unfortunately, we are a global company and we don't get the tax credits from other places, so that's something, unfortunately, just outside of our control. But I'm like you, I loved it when we used to get franking credits, especially on my shareholding, so I've got to pay a lot of tax now. Are you okay with that? Another one? Yeah? Yep. Can we still put him on, Ollie? Yep, right.
No, basically that's a very good explanation. And I think if we, you know, if I live another 20 or so years, we'll get a dividend return, you know, probably up to the 5 or 6% fully franked.
Absolutely. Can't wait for it. I'm getting old too, so.
Thank you.
Okay. We've got another question here from the Australian Shareholders Association. Ralph York? No, they dropped off. No, you've had yours? There's no one on the queue. Have we mucked it up?
No, you've got me. Robert Strickland.
Rob, yes, sorry.
I'm from the Australian Shareholders Association, Chris, and I'd also like to congratulate you and your board on the incredible growth that you've achieved over a number of years, and also the expectation of enormous growth still to come. And as you say, the free cash flow that your company's producing is quite remarkable, so keep it up. Thank you. Now, I have a question for you, though, which relates to the remuneration of your executives, particularly their long-term incentives. And the annual report, page 31, mentions that there was the board used its powers to vary the performance hurdles. Now, shareholders will all be aware that performance hurdles and incentives for executives have been very much in the news. And I wondered if you would just like to comment to us on the variance in your performance hurdles.
Absolutely. You are right. It's very much in the news, and especially for one of our largest companies being a telco. If it's any judge of our remuneration to senior executives and the number of complaints I get from them, and I can tell you we're nowhere near where they are. But we did introduce what we called a deferred long-term incentive scheme 2 years ago, and that was based when we made the prediction that basically our aim was to grow earnings per share by 20% each year. I think the first year, Tom, 40%, last year, 60%. We've delivered extraordinarily, and I think rightly so. The senior guys said, this year we're going to do the same again. What if in the fifth year, after delivering to shareholders an average of, say, 50% growth and all that money that's gone into it, something terrible happened to the stock market and the shares fell down? These guys have run blood, sweat and tears, would actually end up with nothing. Now, I don't think that would be something that any shareholder would want to see. Under those circumstances, the board does have the option to actually vary it, and I would suggest that we probably would. So it was really, and these guys obviously thinking about their families and long term, they haven't got anything else. I think that the hurdles that we put in place would be far higher than any other company. So it's not an easy gig. So it's about saying that all we've done is varied. We're saying in the fourth year that, in fact, if they've reached any of those hurdles, then half of their shares will be locked in. They actually don't get them, so they've still got to stay for the 5 years before they get them. So I think, and hopefully, I know remuneration is a very emotive thing, and that's the one thing you get a lot of no votes on things, but I think we have been very fair, and hopefully most shareholders would support that minor change. But I do understand it's not something you want to come back to and start changing, and we don't intend to do it again. Mr. Barry Lay.
Thank you, Chris. Barry Lay, shareholder. I'm just wondering if you'd like to comment whether Computershare has outgrown this venue for its meetings.
Whether it has? Yeah, look, in the old days we used to go to all these fancy joints and pay a fortune, $100,000, and we built this. We actually rent it out to our clients. I think it's important for you guys to come here to where is the headquarters of Computershare to see it. Yeah, it gets a little bit squashed and a few people have got to stand up, but to me I think it's the place to have it when we can't actually physically fit people in, but I think it's far better to be here than to sort of waste shareholders' funds on fancy things. You might be a problem with a little bit of parking, and that's something we can address next time, because we have got a beautiful car park next door, but take your point. Okay, well, my screen says no further questions. Is that right, technical crew over there? Right. So, no further questions. We'll go to the second item of business. The second item of business is consideration of the annual financial report, director's report and auditor's report for the year ended 30th of June 2007. This item provides shareholders with the opportunity to raise any issues or ask questions generally of the directors concerning the financial statements of the business and operations of the company. Shareholders are also entitled to ask any questions of the company's auditor, PricewaterhouseCoopers, which has representatives in attendance, Simon over here, at the meeting for the purpose of addressing any shareholders' questions directed to them. Questions to the auditors must relate to the conduct of the audit, the preparation of the content of the auditor's report, the accounting policy adopted by the company in relation to preparation of the financial statements, or the independence of the auditor in relation to the conduct of the audit. I now invite shareholders to put questions to the directors or the auditors. Again, could I remind you that if you wish to ask a question, please press the blue button once on your handset. If you want to leave the queue, if you put it in, you say, well, that's already been answered, just press the blue button again and you'll go out of the queue. If your name is called, then ask the question, your handset, please the microphone. Right. Are there any questions about the financial statements? Okay. No, nothing on here, nothing over there. Okay, if there are no further questions, I now propose to proceed with the formal business of the meeting. I appoint Danielle Hyde. Where's Danielle? Here somewhere? Ah, there you are, Danielle. Computershare Investor Services as the returning officer. In line with recent corporate practice, rather than a show of hands, we will be conducting a vote for all resolutions by doing a full poll using the IML technology here. So the Chair will be calling a poll on every resolution. Before we start voting on the formal resolutions, we want to make sure that everyone is comfortable with the voting process and prepared a test resolution. When registering, each shareholder was given your card, so everyone's got that in there. In your thing, how are we going? When are you there? Yep, okay. When the poll opens, the handset will display the voting options for, against, abstain. So one is for, two against, three abstain. To cast your vote, press one of the buttons, numbered 1, 2 or 3 on your handset to indicate your voting preference. Your selection and the word received will appear on your handsets to indicate your vote has been counted. Should you wish to change your mind, simply press C to clear and then enter your new choice by pressing the appropriate button. If your little card is not inserted during the vote, a prompt will appear. Now we're going to do a little test for you, and I did have a rather political thing saying, will Johnny Howe get elected next week? And then I realised that all Computershare shareholders are very smart people, so they'll probably vote Labor. There's no point in doing that one. But I've got another one, and this is a bit of a suck up to my daughter. The test resolution is, And but it is a sensible one, and something that is I think is very important uppermost in most people's and people's minds at the moment, and that is, should Computershare go carbon neutral? Now, a lot of large companies have made a commitment. You can't do it overnight. I think Goldman's are the first one to commit to that in 2007 or 8, 9, I think. Other companies are, ANZ, Westpac. And frankly, I'd be interested, what it's not without a cost. To go carbon neutral is going to cost money, and it's different people have various things. So for the test now, we're going to open that, and if you agree that Computershare, not tomorrow, but over time, should really press to go carbon neutral, then push 1 for. If you're against it and think that's a waste of shareholders' funds, then press 2. If you're not sure, press 3 to abstain. So you can press your little buttons now. And I've got a little counter up here showing how many votes, so up to 64 votes. Oh, it's going well. 68. Everyone fine with the technology? We're going all right. 70, 71. Okay, 72. I think we can close the poll now, and I haven't rigged this at all, so I don't know. A tally of votes will appear on the screen, so I'm looking around to have a look. Right. Where's Hayley? I think that's an overall vote for actually doing it. And that is interesting. Hey? Oh, stains. Oh, well. Okay, anyway, so hopefully now you're all familiar with the technology. Okay, now to the real ones we've got to vote on. The first resolution is the adoption of the remuneration report of the company. The Corporation Act requires that an AGM, a resolution that the remuneration report be adopted to put to a vote. The vote is advisory only and will not bind the company of directors, which is personally to me quite strange. If you're going to have a vote, and then why have a vote if no one's got to do it? But anyway, the remuneration report of the company is set out in pages 28 to 38 of the annual report, and explains in detail the remuneration policies adopted by the board and how remuneration is linked to the performance of the company. The remuneration report also sets out the details of remuneration of each director and the designated senior executive's Computershare. I move the adoption of the remuneration report. Before I put the resolution, does any shareholders wish to raise any queries or make some comments in respect of the proposed resolution? Could you please identify yourself before asking the questions? Or in fact, we're going to use this little thing again, so you put yourself in a queue. I think we've answered one question on remuneration from Bob, which I think I pointed out what I feel. I think we're very much not over the top, and our remuneration is very much tied to the performance of the company, which has been exceptional. So has anyone else got any questions on the remuneration report? Bob, were you in there or not? No, you. Did you want to ask another question on that?
No, I have a question.
Oh, okay. We'll go to that later. Okay. If there's no questions on that, then I will now put the resolution to a vote that the remuneration report for the year ended 30 to 30 June be adopted. If you're a proxy holder, a summary of the votes at your disposal was given to you when you registered at the meeting. This summary shows the number of votes which you have been instructed to vote in the favour and against each resolution. It also shows the open votes which you may vote as you wish. Where you have been instructed to vote in a particular manner, you are required to vote in accordance with those instructions. The system caters for this. If you need any assistance, members of the returning officers team will be pleased to assist. Okay, so now if we can all, the vote will be open, if we can all vote. Okay, we're up to 73, which is only so many, so I'll now close that, and a summary of the votes now should appear on the screen. And that is overwhelmingly unanimous 4. Thank you very much. I now declare the poll closed, and the motion is carried. Given the next resolution relates to my re-election as a director, I will now hand over the chair to Sandy Murdoch. You want this, Sandy?
Thanks, Chris. The next resolution for consideration relates to the re-election of Chris Morris. As you will know, Chris stood down as CEO at the end of last year's AGM and therefore now finds himself up for re-election for the first time since Computershare listed on the ASX. Chris is due to retire by rotation in accordance with the company's constitution, and being eligible, he presents himself for re-election. I move the re-election of Chris Morris as a director of the company. Before I put the resolution, does any shareholder wish to raise any queries or make some comments in respect to the proposed resolution? Could you please identify yourself before asking your questions? Any questions? There's no questions. I will now put the resolution to a vote that Mr. C.J. Morris, who retires from office under Clause 66 of the company's constitution, is re-elected as a director of the company. The slide shows the proxies received. So please enter your votes now by pressing your keypads, button 1 or 2 or 3. For 1, press 4. To vote for, press 1. To vote against, press 2. And to abstain, press 3. Has everyone who wishes to vote done so? I now close the poll. As one would expect, an overwhelming resounding result. I now declare the motion carried and congratulate Chris on his re-election as the director of the company. Congratulations, Chris.
Next item on the agenda is a consideration relating to the re-election of Mr. Phil DeFreo. Phil joined the board as a non-executive director in 2002. He is due to retire by rotation in accordance with the company's constitution and, being eligible, presents himself for re-election. I move the re-election of Phil DeFreo as a director of the company. Before I put the resolution, does any shareholders wish to raise any queries or make any comments in respect of the proposed resolution? Could you please identify yourself before asking questions? Doesn't seem to be any questions. I will now put the resolution to a vote. That Phil DeFreo, who retires from office under the clause 66 of the company's constitution, is re-elected as a director of the company. A summary of the proxy votes received now appears on the screen behind me. You can now actually vote 1, 4, 2, against, or 3, abstain. Okay, we're up to the magic number. I think everyone's voted. Who wants to vote? I now close the poll. The tally of the votes will now appear on the screen behind me. Phil, I think you got a better vote than I did. Yeah. This is it's an American accent. I declare the motion carried and congratulate Phil on his re-election as director of Computershare. The next resolution for consideration relates to the re-election of Dr. Marcus Kerber. Marcus joined the board as a non-executive director in August 2004. He is due to retire by rotation in accordance with the company's constitution and, being eligible, presents himself for re-election. I move the re-election of Marcus Kerber as a director of the company. Before I put the resolution, does any shareholder wish to raise any queries or make any comments in respect of the proposed resolution? Could you please identify yourself before asking the question? Okay, there doesn't seem to be any questions. I will now put the resolution to a vote that Dr. Marcus Kerber, who retires from office under Clause 66 of the company's constitution, is re-elected as director of the company. A summary of the proxy votes is behind us. Please now can everyone do your voting, 1, 2, or 3. Yeah, everyone's getting the hang of this, pretty good. Okay, 73, that's about it. I think everyone voted they want to. I now close the poll. The tally of the votes appears on the screen behind me, and I would expect there will be no surprises. Marcus, congratulations. I declare the motion carried and congratulate Marcus on his re-election. The next resolution consideration relates to the election of Mr. Les Owen. Les was appointed by the board as an additional director on 1st of February 2007 in accordance with the company's constitution, holds office until this meeting and being eligible presents himself for re-election. Before we put this resolution to a vote, I would like to ask Les to say a few words to introduce himself.
Well, thank you, Chris, and good morning, everyone. I'm delighted to be here. As the notes in the annual report say, I've worked in the financial services sector, mainly insurance and funds management, for about 35 years, and over the last 7 or 8 years, until September 2006, I was CEO of AXA Asia Pacific, which many of you might remember formerly as National Mutual. I have got Australian and UK citizenship, as Chris mentioned, and being in AXA for many years, I've got experience of European and Asian markets, and indeed I've got experience of many of the markets in which Computershare now operates. I was advised by my colleagues not to admit the next point, but I thought in the interest of transparency I should, so I confess to at one time being a qualified actuary. I do have experience of Computershare as a customer. I mean, AXA Asia Pacific have Computershare running its registry and its share plan scheme, and that gave me some exposure to the business. I think Computershare is a great company, and I very much enjoyed my first 9 months on the board, and I ought to put at rest immediately the rumours that I only joined because Victoria Park is just behind here, so that's absolutely not true. But if you elect me, I assure you I will carry out my duties diligently. I think Computershare is a great company, and I very much look forward, if I'm elected, to playing a small part in continuing the success of your company.
Thanks very much, Les. I now move the election of Les Owen as the director of the company. Before putting the resolution, does any shareholder wish to raise any queries or make any comments in respect to the proposed resolution? You should please identify yourself before asking any questions. Oh, we have. There is somebody on this list now, Barry Smith. Is there a Barry Smith here? You didn't push the button. Oh, okay. Okay, so there'll be no further questions. I will put the resolution to a vote that Mr. Les Owen, who retires from office under Clause 65 of the company's constitution, is elected as the director of the company. A summary of the proxy votes appears on the screen behind us. You can now all vote again using 1, 2 or 3 on your hand pad. It's a pretty good system this one, you get used to it all. Hey, don't want you to start. Okay, everyone done? I think we're up to the number. Done, I now close the poll. The tally of votes appears on the screen behind me. And as expected, unanimous vote for Les to join the board. I declare the motion carried and congratulate Les on his election as a director of the company. Just as a point, if you can remember, because around the world it's actually getting more and more compulsory to actually take polls on votes, and if you're at an AGM where there's 2,000 people, and on every one of these, everyone's got to fill and tick a bit of paper, and everyone races out the back and sit around for 10 minutes waiting, you can understand how this technology is actually unbelievably helpful in these situations. Now we come to one, this could produce questions, for consideration relates to increasing the maximum pile of non-executive directors. At the moment, the maximum aggregate amount the company may pay to all its non-executive directors is capped at $1 million a year. I appreciate that we have asked for an increase this year, despite Bill Ford being resigned and Sandy Murdoch not seeking re-election at this meeting. However, when setting non-executive directors' fees for the 2008 financial year, we found that we would have been at the very limit of our cap if Marcus Kermit was to be paid fees. As you may be aware, Marcus generously agreed to act as a director of Computershare, even though his appointment in the German government prevents him from receiving any fees for doing so. We all therefore thought it was prudent to request an increase that will be sufficient for some years to come. As ever, we'll be assessing the composition of the board, and this increase will allow us for any additional appointments that may be made if we choose to do so. There's one thing that I can assure you, and this is that the board has no intention of this financial year of increasing any of the current board members' remuneration. So it is not a grab for money for anyone. It's just as we said, we just didn't want to be in a position. It's fortunate at the moment because myself and Penny are both still executive, so we don't come into it. If we, Stuart sacks me or for what forces me to retire, then in fact I wouldn't be able to get paid as chairman because we haven't had enough money to do it. As you know, Penny is actually sort of standing down a little bit, not retiring in January the 1st. So there's a number of things which we can't say now which actually could affect it. If we sort of, well, obviously with Bill Ford actually retiring, we are looking for, and if we find we'd like another US-Canadian type representative. So we just didn't want to be in the embarrassing position where we couldn't appoint somebody. I think if you look at an average of companies, we're, again, like most things, probably fairly at the lower end of the scale. So I'd like to move the resolution to increase non-executive directors' remuneration. Before I put the resolution, does any shareholder wish to raise any queries or make any comments in respect of the proposed resolution? Could you please identify yourself? And Bob, I think you have got one.
Thank you again, Chris.
Sorry, mobile phone.
Yeah. Sorry. Thank you again, Chris, for the opportunity to talk. I'm just aware that the way the board is formed is that we're losing Sandy Murdoch, an independent director. We've lost Bill Ford. The Australian Shareholders Association does have concern about the constitution or the members of boards, and we would like to encourage Computershare to replace those independents with other independents. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Bob. And look, I take your point totally. We actually appointed Les in, and so we've sort of taken one spot and agree. And one thing we're not going to do is just sort of race around and find someone to satisfy some sort of rule about independent directors. But we really do take seriously directors, and we really want them not just to be people on the board, but people that really add value. And I can assure you, you know, if we found two tomorrow that could really add value in different areas of the company, then we'd appoint them. So take your point, and thanks for the question. If there are no further questions, under the ASX listing rules, the company will disregard any votes cast on this resolution by any director of the company and their associates. However, the company need not disregard a vote if it is cast by a director as proxy for a person who is entitled to vote in accordance with the directions on the proxy form, or it is cast by the person chairing the meeting as proxy for a person who is entitled to vote in accordance with the direction of the proxy form to vote as the proxy decides. I said to Dominic when I read this, what in the bloody hell does all that mean? It's got to be written by a lawyer. I will put the resolution to a vote that the maximum annual amount of remuneration available to be paid to all non-executive directors in aggregate is increased by $500,000 per annum from $1 million per annum to $1.5 million per annum. A summary of the proxy votes appears on the screen, which is actually quite amazing. I don't think many companies would have that sort of percentage for a resolution like this, which is, I thank all shareholders. I think it's great to see that, but there may be some huge votes sitting out here that are going to go against it, so we'll find out. So press 1, 2 or 3 on your hand pad to actually vote. Nine, that's all right, because a few of us can't vote. So I think everyone's voted that wanted to. I now close the poll, and a tally of the votes appears on the screen behind me. And again, overwhelmingly in favour. That's fantastic, and I appreciate that. I declare the motion carried. The next resolution, which is proposed as a special resolution, relates to amendments to the company's constitution. This is really exciting stuff, so I don't want to go to sleep over there. There are two amendments proposed. The first amendment to allow direct voting. Direct voting will allow shareholders to vote directly on resolutions considered at a meeting by lodging their votes with the company prior to that meeting. It means that shareholders can still exercise their voting rights even when they do not attend the meeting personally and without appointing a proxy. So that's the only difference. You still vote. Normally you'd vote and appoint the chairman or something, but it just allows you to say, I want to vote for or against this without appointing a proxy. Direct voting is an initiative that has been recommended by the Chartered Securities Australia following extensive industry consultation and research. It is something that we are seeing more of our clients wishing to offer, and as an option to their shareholders, we are pleased to commend its adoption by Computershare shareholders. The second amendment is a minor technical amendment to ensure that a director who is temporarily absent from the board meeting can continue to be counted towards the quorum for that meeting despite the temporary absence. And there's a number of reasons, obviously, as you can probably work out, why people have to leave for a little bit of time from a meeting. I now put the resolution as a resolution to amend the constitution. Before I put the resolution, does any shareholders wish to raise any queries or make some comments in respect of the proposed resolution? Could you please identify yourself before asking a question? I wouldn't think there'd be any questions on this one. There doesn't seem to be any questions at all. The precise wording of the resolution, which I'm sure you're going to grab and read after this meeting, is indicated in the notice of meeting. Some of the proxy votes are on the screen. Again, some people will vote against anything. It just shows. Please enter your votes now, 1, 2, or 3. And, yep, I think we're all there. I now close the poll. Tally of votes will appear on the screen. Yeah, thank you very much. I declare the motion carried. Ladies and gentlemen, no other business items have been brought forward that can be legally transacted at this meeting, so I intend to close the meeting. But before I do, are there any final questions or comments? Now, Rose, are we there or what? You got it? Okay. Has anyone else got...
Oh, yes, we have. Walter.
Somebody? Yes, Walter.
Walter Sear? Sorry.
Edwina.
Oh, sorry.
My name's Edwina Sear and I'm an ordinary shareholder. I just wondered how, when you have votes just then,
yes,
they can go down instead of up. You had... On the last two questions particularly,
yeah,
just jotting down the numbers for the against,
yeah,
there were less against after the vote than there were before the vote.
Well, I think people can override their proxy vote at a meeting.
Okay.
They can? They can. Okay. And I assume that's after my brilliant orientation, people thought differently. Proxies don't vote, right. But that's very observant. Well done. Okay, we've got one other little thing here. And as we mentioned before, Sandy is retiring, and so we just wondered what could we possibly give Sandy. One thing that we are going to actually desperately miss Sandy at is our board dinners, although I think we might, when we come to Melbourne, we might have an exception, invite him along. Because Sandy, as some of you may know, used to own a winery and has got the best appreciation of wine. Stuart's trying to stand up for the reputation though between them, and it's very dangerous. Also, after we partake of some nice wines and dinner, then inevitably Sandy would like a little bit of cognac. So I'd like Sandy to come up here and we just present him with a small appreciation of the service that he's given to Computershare over many years.
Well, thank you, Chris. It's with mixed feelings that I leave the board. I think that I've been here 13 odd years, and I think that like any organisation there needs to be change. And I think that the directors we're bringing on now are much younger, certainly, and much smarter than I am. So I feel the company is in exceptional hands. But I think one of the things you will have noticed in Chris's presentation today is there is a strong feeling within the organisation that all staff must be, well respected and well rounded. And for those shareholders that do read the accounts, our real assets walk out the door each night. There's no hard assets. If you look, I think with the buyback, we've got very little. We've got no hard assets in the company. So the way in which management relates to the staff is of critical importance. And I think it's a thing that Chris and the team have always worked on, because it's important that the environment in which people work is a fun place, that it respects community concerns on a whole range of issues. And I think that even though the company has grown considerably over a period of time, the feeling that it is an important organisation to work with, that it does undertake its interests within the community seriously, and it does have respect for those employees that work within the company. I think that's one of the things that has seriously contributed to making this company a wonderful success. I'm sure that my departure will be readily filled by any others coming forward, and I do wish the ongoing board and the new chairman every success. Thank you.
Thanks very much. I think that now, ladies and gentlemen, concludes the business of the meeting, and I declare the meeting closed.